Coming up on today's show, we are all awake and ready to go to talk about the news this week on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 329 of Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host for this week. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by my esteemed co-hosts. First up, we have Adam.
What's up, everybody?
And we also have this week the artist formerly known as Rip Van Winkle. Oh, I mean Jason.
Wait, this is another episode? I just woke up. I thought we were still recording last week.
It's been a whole week.
Yeah, it's been a whole week. So you haven't had a chance to listen to last week's episode.
I don't know how it ends. How did it end? What was the climactic finale?
Well, it was supposed to be a Six Flags report, but I think we'll just wait and do that later.
Probably me sleeping is better than Six Flags.
That's how interesting Six Flags was to you.
That's what I think of Six Flags, but, you know, I don't want to...
I have a sentence I would like to share in the vein of Albus Dumbledore, who just says nonsensical sentences. Can I share one with you?
Sure, yeah, go ahead, share it.
But only Bill can have a park entrance key.
But only Bill can have a park entrance key. Okay.
I see. I don't recall that.
I feel like that's a deeper meaning to that. Think about that. I'm going to think about it.
I'm going to try to temper myself this week and be very positive. I'm going to talk only good things because we are not that far away from being, what did they say as they announced the new annual passes? Among the magic, in the magic is in you. I forget. It was kind of creepy how they put it, but we're going to be there very soon.
Very soon.
Isn't that a...
you'll be happy.
Weezer song, I've Got the Magic in Me or something.
Maybe Weezer will play the Christmas festival this year. the candlelight processional.
Oh, speaking of which, that's going to be back this year.
You think Neil Patrick Harris will show up?
You know, I would like to think so.
Yeah.
I've seen that they were doing it, but I haven't seen a list of people yet. I'm sure that will come out a little later.
We will probably have an episode maybe early next week because we are going to head out to Walt Disney World next week for Ratatouille, saying goodbye to Happily Ever After. What else is on that agenda, Adam? What else are we going to do?
Well, you are going to do a challenge, aren't you?
I am getting fairly close to actually registering for a challenge, but before we get excited about watching a full challenge, this would be... a half-day challenge, hopefully. Mm-hmm. My son really wants to run. He's 6 years old. He's not even tall enough to ride rockin', so we couldn't even complete if we wanted to. But I'm feeling like maybe a Grail of Magic Kingdom and then one ride at every other park would be a good take-your-six-year-old-on-a-challenge kind of thing. And see, and that way we'd still be done, hopefully, in time for Happily Ever After.
Sounds like a plan.
You want to run with your sons, both of them?
No. Because they'll run in different directions.
One will run towards Small World.
I don't know as much anymore. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, he's ever evolving. My youngest one.
Well, there'll probably be a time period where it comes up where you'll want to run with them. They might leave you in the dust at that point.
Yeah, right. They would now actually if they took off running.
Did we mention, by the way, I don't think we mentioned last week, that there was, in fact, a completion of the challenge at Walt Disney World?
Oh, no. I guess we haven't really kept up with it as good as we should recently. So why don't you fill us in?
So Kenny the Pirate got an official every ride completion with a hard ticket event. He used a Boobash ticket, so that made it possible for him to essentially delay Magic Kingdom towards the end, and he was able to complete all the open rides that day. So we technically have a completion now.
Minus the rafts. So.
Well, yeah. Every ride has a flaw in their rules in that they don't actually list every ride.
There's no Main Street vehicle right now either to make it difficult. Wonder if they're ever going to run those again. Or did they just sell them somewhere?
Oh, I feel like they will eventually.
Are they running them at Disneyland?
I think so. I feel like I've seen them on the street, but I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, that's like a staple at Disneyland.
They do bring out, like, the trolley for little drive-through shows right now. So the trolley's there.
Yeah, they still do the trolley, yeah, every day. But you don't ride it. Nobody rides it.
Right.
But they could have sold the omnibus, the fire truck, who knows? No, I don't. They wouldn't do that.
All right. You guys have a trip coming up in next week, starting next week, end of next week.
Just a quick weekend jaunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have about 3 weeks until we take off on our trip.
How many nights are you planning on being there?
The number of nights we have scheduled staying at the Airbnb there is 5 nights total.
Okay. Have you picked up tickets yet?
No, I have not. I did talk a little bit last week about where we're potentially going to buy them. I don't know if we're all going to do as many park days as some of the rest of us. Let's put it that way. Which might be a good thing in some cases. I just got to figure out how many days, you know, we're each going to be doing in what park. I feel like I am going to be doing all the parks at some point. I don't know if the rest of my family is going to be doing all the parks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I got to figure that out ticket-wise. So,
are you going to talk an upgrade? You going to be able to get yourself that AP after all?
AP? I don't know. We'll see.
Get that Sorcerer, or what is it, the Incredipass? You'd be Incredipass level?
I'd be Incredipass, yeah.
You'd only pay the difference, right? So what if you've already paid a certain amount? You'd only pay the difference.
Well, I mean, not yet I haven't, but I guess in a way that would be getting a discount on the annual pass. Anyway.
It would be a way to break up the payment a little bit if you didn't want to pay the whole thing at once.
Yeah, if you get discounts on the original tickets and then they just pay you, you just have to pay the difference. Isn't that kind of getting...
I guess it is. Yeah. If they let you upgrade that ticket, which I imagine they would.
Yeah.
I imagine they would.
Anyway, so you guys are going to be there at the end of next week. So one of the things that's taking place then that we found out is how Space 220 is not taking reservations during that time period. However, then you will be able to queue Space 220 if you want to, so to speak.
Is it a physical queue, or is it going to be like they do walk-up reservations in My Disney Experience app queue?
Good question. I don't think we really know until it happens, right?
I'm hoping it would be the app, but either way, it's going to be like nuts to try and get, I imagine. So,
to go along with that, the menus have been revealed. Why don't we just go through the menu right quick, since this is one of the larger stories of the week, right? So we have what's called... They call them the liftoffs or appetizer. We have a Big Bang Burrata. We have Starry Calamari, Blue Moon Cauliflower, Neptuna Tartar, Centauri Caesar Salad, and then Space Greens. That one's not that creative. No, is it? Any one of those stand out to you?
Not really, to be honest.
Okay, so you get one, though, if you're when you're doing the preview. So you got to pick one.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, you got to pick one.
Right. I think I would go with the cauliflower personally, or the calamari. But
so I mean, calamari sounds good. I do love tuna tartare, so I might. But I'm worried it's just going to be. I'm sure it's going to be like a small, very tiny, can't even see a piece of tuna. Big Bang Burrata also sounds decent. I mean, I'm glad to see they have a couple of decent salads. You know, the grain salad sounds good. I'm not much of a salad person, but my wife is, so I know she would probably go for one of those. Not bad choices.
Yeah, you know, if it were me, I honestly think, I know I criticized the name of it, but what's in it, I think I would go with the Space Greens as my appetizer.
I mean, the thing is how high quality is the food? And I will probably, let's assume we go.
Yeah.
I'll make a pretty early judgment based off of how good these appetizers are. Because you're going to charge this much. Somebody gets a salad.
Right.
There's a salad you get at your mom and pop type shop. And then there's like an elevated salad that you can tell they put care in. And it's probably not as much food and all that. But like, is it going to have flavor? How's their dressing? Is it house made? All that stuff is going to really tell you a lot about... Are they charging you $79 because the food's good, or are they just
Now, here's one thing. Since you mentioned the $79, you know, they have a lunch menu that's $55, which means you get to select one of each. You get to lift off in a star course versus instead of the whole thing is the only difference. So I guess you get to choose from the exact same menu, it looks like. You just get two of the items.
That's how Be Our Guest
versus,
is.
Well, yeah.
Anyway. Kids version, by the way, is $29.
For the mac and cheese?
Yeah.
Is the dinner the same for kids? I think it's still $29, so.
Yeah, looks that way.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on to the main course, or the star course.
The stars.
So we have seared tuna, Blue House salmon, Centauri burger, Flatiron steak, roasted free-range chicken, baked macaroni, and Terra Bolognese. Is that how you say that?
Bolognese, yeah. So spaghetti with meat sauce, macaroni, but it's got a sausage ragu, so it's like fancy macaroni. Basic just roasted chicken with mashed potatoes, Brussels sprouts. Like nothing here screams elevated dining. It's all pretty just standard fare you would get at any run-of-the-mill restaurant.
It's going to depend on the quality.
But nothing here seems inspired or even like nothing here says space. Nothing.
The name's some sort of
Centauri.
I mean, like you go walk into here in Atlanta, we have like a Marlowe's Tavern, right? You know, sort of like a local chain. Or you walk into a place, you know, even most chain restaurants. I mean, you can find these dishes everywhere: a seared tuna, a salmon, a burger, a steak, a roast chicken, and a pasta dish.
So nothing really stands out to you.
No, like compare that to Mansoor Paul, where they have like chicken, but it's like elevated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these could be. You don't know. It's just based on the description. Well, yeah, you won't know until you actually taste it, right? If you were going to make a choice out of these, though, which one first catches your eye? Which one's your most likely choice?
For $55, what would I pick? I'd probably go, I don't know if I'd go with the steak for lunch. It might be the salmon, or I might even try the burger. But for $55, I don't think I would try the burger.
I would go with the salmon.
Yeah. For lunch, I tend to go lighter, right? I'd rather go heavy for dinner, so I don't know if I'd do the...
Or there is the, which I didn't go down quite far enough, there is the Space Station Special, which is the Maine lobster salad, quinoa, bulgur wheat, avocado, lettuce, mango, basically the vegetarian option.
Except for the vegetarian, lobster part. It's got lobster in it.
I was going to say, never mind, except for the lobster part.
Are they trying to say it's an extra $18?
Is that what Yes, it's extra for that, yes. Mm-hmm. For the globe. It ain't the worth globe that. Is extra. I mean, it depends on how much lobster's in there.
Doesn't look like a lot, does it? You see the picture? Yeah. Doesn't look like.
They're showing a claw of lobster. One claw.
You gotta eat out of a fishbowl to get to it.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at that fishbowl, this seems to me like a $55 lunch where Adam and I leave hungry.
Yeah. And then we'll have to go spend more money on Food and Wine Festival food.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, look at their sides at lunch. Brussels sprouts for $10. Fried potato wedges for $8. Who are these people? Yeah.
And the broccoli. I mean, how big is the broccoli going to be? How much broccoli?
I don't know. For $55, you don't even get the sides.
I mean, most of the dishes come with sides. Like, if you get the free-range chicken, it comes with mashed potatoes, Brussels sprouts. So... Let's look at the lunch menu for kids, though. I mean, I don't know if it changes for dinner.
Yeah, I don't see the difference.
So, where's the macaroni? Yep, there it is. Mission macaroni.
Yeah.
With breadcrumbs on top, so they make sure that they put some on there, and they'll be like, I don't like this.
Yes.
Right.
What's that stuff on top?
They're calling it Space-getty.
Right. It's moon salmon, dust.
Cosmic chicken. Basically, they just put cosmic names in front of
Smash all the Burger
stuff they normally feed give kids, I guess, or kids eat.
Okay, so it comes with the entree, the dessert, and the drink. 9 years old and under. Oh wow! So like, it's pretty young. A 12-year-old has to pay the full 55.
Right. Yep. Well, to Disney, anybody over 9 is an adult, so.
Yeah. And, of course, you can get the collectible cup for an extra $3 for the kid. So, there you go.
Of course, with the
upcharge for the special cup.
Oh, but then there's the upcharge drinks. It comes in a special. You can get the Moon Rocks drink or the Light Your Lemonade. Listen to what's in this Moon Rocks. Coconut, blue cotton candy syrup, lemonade, moon dust, and moon rocks. That just sounds like you're just ruining the rest of your day.
It's got Pop Rocks in it.
Yeah. And then they're putting a lemonade that's extra for the kids. Fresh squeezed lemonade, butterfly, PT, and mint. What kid out there wants mint in their lemonade?
First of all, for $12, that better have vodka in it.
I think that's included in the price of the special cup, though, right?
Yeah, you get the special cup. Okay.
All right. That's safe. But still, can you imagine if I gave my 4-year-old that has cotton candy, syrup, lemonade, Pop Rocks, whatever? He's going to be like jumping off the. He'll be jumping out back down to Earth.
Through the screen.
Yeah. Like, good Lord. Won't even get through the appetizers without him going bananas.
All right.
Anyway, keep going. Sorry, we're taking 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're taking too much time on this. So we've established that the dinner menu is slightly different, but the appetizers are the same, so we don't have to cover those again. Yeah. So the star course, we have a slow rotation short rib, a Florida red snapper. I think the chicken was the same on there. The X2 duck, the terra bolognese is on there still, the salmon's still on there, and the 8-ounce filet mignon.
Yeah.
I think I might would... The other option on this one that I might would do... outside of the salmon would be the duck.
What I didn't catch here is the ragu is a tempeh ragu. So it is a vegan or vegetarian bolognese.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would.
Yeah, the linguine is made out of corn. The ragu is made out of tempeh.
Well, there's always a vegan option.
The ricotta is made out of macadamia nut, zucchini, mushroom. Yeah, that's the vegan choice.
I wouldn't rule that one out either because I do eat vegan a lot now.
Could also get a baked lobster or a ribeye with jumbo crab specials.
The X2 duck sounds good.
Yeah, that's the one that I was thinking I would probably choose.
Well, here's something that actually catches my eye. Butternut squash flan is one of the sides there. And I'm like, that might actually be something that's like, oh, I don't know how to make a butternut squash flan, so maybe I should get that.
Try it out. What about the desserts?
Yeah, that's everyone's favorite, right? They call it supernova sweets.
Sure.
And we have carrot cake, sticky toffee pudding cake, chocolate cheesecake, gelato and sorbet, and then we have a lemon mousse. So I'm thinking still chocolate cheesecake looks the best to me, but...
Yeah, the sticky toffee pudding cake is interesting to me.
Yeah, it is.
See the picture here of the lemon mousse. I'm not that impressed with that look, the way it looks. But the sticky toffee pudding cake, I might try.
Yeah, I'd go toffee.
Seems you go with the toffee?
Yeah. What about the drinks?
Yeah, let's get down to the beverages.
Some of them sound good, but I have Oga's Cantina in my head about how these are...
Yeah, I was reading them, and I was like...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Like, for instance, you look at the Cosmopolitan, right?
Yeah.
And... That one doesn't sound bad because that is a traditional cosmopolitan, although I don't know what moon dust is. I mean, it's vodka, Contreau, and cranberry hibiscus juice, which is that's a cosmopolitan. It's just how heavy are they on the cran juice, right?
And how heavy are they on the vodka?
Right. I mean, Contreau is also alcoholic. I don't know what moon dust is. So that could be okay. But then, like, you go further down to their, like... Sweet. They're whiskey drinks, right? Like Nebula has Maker's Mark, right? You're like, okay, maybe that'll be good. Pineapple, honey. Pineapple, honey, and then they get to passion fruit, and I'm like, ooh, that's going to get sweet. Yeah. Bitters and moon dust. What is moon dust?
We're going to have to look it up now.
Yeah.
It's not actual moon dust.
Yeah, but I'd say if it is, then count me out.
And they have like what they would call an Aperol Spritz. They call it their Atmo Spritz. New Amsterdam Aperol, Monin Blood Orange Juice Prosecco, and then Cotton Candy Cloud. They're like, let's make a drink and then just dump sugar in it.
Oh, I know.
Ooh, the Big Tang is served with ice cream.
Oh,
Served it's with an Avion Silver, a Grand Marnier, tang-infused agave nectar, grapefruit, strawberry served with astronaut ice cream. That's the first thing that sounds like it's space-themed. It's got tang in it.
Yeah. So what are the odds any one of these like has more alcohol in it than the others? You think they're all about the same? Because, I mean, with Disney, sometimes they have a drink that's a little stronger, at least one drink that's a little stronger than the other ones. I just can't tell from looking at this which one it's going
to
be.
What about the lounge? Would you go to the lounge?
I was looking at the lounge menu. They have, like, short rib sliders, deviled eggs. They have some of the other, like, the calamari and the cauliflower from the main menu.
To answer your question, though, John, I don't think there's any way to know which one's going to have more alcohol. It probably just depends on the day.
Yeah.
Right, depending on their bartender. Yeah. If we get Chris from Bar Riva to jump over for a shift, they'll be strong.
I'll go follow him if he goes over there and makes the margarita. On the lounge, I mean, I'm drawn to the New England lobster roll because I love a lobster roll, but then I look at the price.
Yeah, you don't love the price.
One lobster roll is $34.
Jeepers. Yeah. I mean, I could go for a couple of things on this one, but...
No. They are supposed to have a really nice wine menu, so I might try to go with that. They're supposed to have a wide variety, so.
I mean, I'm looking, it's fine, right? I mean, like, if you look on their reds, they have some sort of big name stuff like Decoy, which you can get at the grocery store.
You can get that a lot of places, yeah.
Yeah, Chateau Saint Michel. Like, I recognize, and I don't recognize a lot of wineries, but I mean, I've
Tempranillo. Gone to
like at Napa Valley and like Sonoma County and stuff like that. We've had a few of those and I'm like, well, I recognize a few of these. None of these sort of stand out as like, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Space 220 in a nutshell.
Do you want to go wait in line for it, Adam? Has that gotten you excited?
I can't say that I'm overly excited, no. But I do want to see the restaurant more than anything. I think that's what I'm excited about. Seeing right, it, I would try it once, of course. Is it worth waiting in line for an hour and a half or 2 hours or however long it might take?
I think you're being a little harsh on how long it's going to be. We'll see.
I think you are being too harsh, too.
We have a group of seven, though. That's my thought. It's very hard to get a group over six into any restaurant.
So. Right. But I also think that day one, day two is going to be pack solid vloggers. And then other people are going to go walk up and they're going to look at the menu and it's going to say $72 and they're going to say, I think I'll go to the Food and Wine Festival.
No, because most people are just going to be like, we're here. It just opened. We have to be the first or one of the first to get something of it. I mean, it's only day four.
To some people that will matter. Yeah. Not everybody will that matter to.
It took a long time for Be Our Guest to die down. A long time. Years.
I mean, Be Our Guest has much more of a draw.
Sure. But I think this is bigger draw than you guys are thinking.
Be Our Guest has the Disney connection, for one thing, character connection. That has the, you know, they can actually see stuff that was in the film or go someplace in the film, at least in the one room. And then if you go in the other room, you can see the rose from the film and the portrait. And apparently eat and see what it's like to eat in total darkness at the same time.
Right.
So,
but Disney knows that people are going to come here because they want to see the big screen. And as I said in our chat, it's a preview of what the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is going to be. Like, looking out your window, they're basically test piloting that technology in this restaurant. So people are going to want to see that.
Yeah.
It's going to be popular. It's going to be popular. No doubt, in my mind.
I'm going to guess that it'll be a flop.
We're going to...
That's why Disney's charging so much, because they know people are going to want to come see it. So you come to see it, you got to pay $79 to eat dinner.
No, I mean, I know Disney had something to do with the pricing, but isn't this run by an outside restaurant group, isn't it? Oh, I forgot the name of it.
Patina?
Yeah, that group that does some of the other good restaurants, right?
Yeah, but do you see what I'm saying?
The Edison, right? But, like, I think someone was comparing, like, the Edison. Remember when I never have been to it, but apparently when it opened, like night one, it was cover charge, and they were going to say there was a dress code, and after certain hours, 21 up. Night two, cover charge is gone. by the end of the month, like by the end of like the first week, they got rid of the 21 plus, and by the end of the month, they added like chicken wings to the, or fried chicken to the menu or something like that. Like it was one of those things where they're like, yeah, yeah, upscale. And then it's one of those things where I think it's going to be tweaked a lot. Because I don't think this current iteration, unless the food is just absolutely out of this world well cooked, it doesn't, at the face of it, to me, justify that price.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's on the Be Our Guest model. They think people are going to come just to experience the atmosphere just as much as the food. And the food is almost taking a back seat to that.
Not the same draw, not the same, not even the same group of people.
Sure, not the same, but
interested.
Why would you not want to see this, though? I think you're underestimating the number of people who are going to want to see this technology in action.
I think more people are going to think, you know what, that first day there's going to be, as we mentioned, tons of vloggers. I can see what it's like for myself in the comfort of my own living room.
Yeah, but there's difference in being there.
Yeah. So anyway, sticking with the food theme, I guess, or the Epcot theme, if you would, Club Cool has reopened. It was something else you might get an opportunity to check out. And it has opened its doors. Notice that it looks like it has a little more room, I guess, for Coca-Cola-themed merchandise more right. than anything else.
So basically, they cleared a few racks from the Coca-Cola store in Disney Springs and brought it over?
I guess. I can't tell. Are they getting a little more space than they had before? I think they are. Maybe a tad bit more.
Yeah, I hope so, because it was shoulder to shoulder in there before. All the kids would be just drinking as much soda as possible.
Yeah, and they do have a good many stations, but they all seem like they're all lined up next to each other instead of like on, you know,
the little circular things. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if that will be better or for worse, but it does look like the Beverly is there, which everyone would be wanting to know. So it's still there, or it will be there.
So. I hope they have some sort of absorbent floor in there, because the old Club Cool was just very sticky floor. So,
do you think anybody would even notice if there was a flavor missing other than the Beverly?
It's like, there's a few favorites that people had.
But I mean, that's like the one that, as they put it, everyone loves to hate.
Coke?
Yes, that's the right. That's the
regular Coke.
Right. The Beverly's the famous one just for being, you know, horrible, but
I don't even know if I could bring myself to even try this anymore, because I've warded off soda like altogether, and I haven't had one in so long. I don't even think I would even go in here.
Yeah, I don't drink soda either. So, but I mean, I would just go look at it. I don't, you know. I'm not going to drink Beverly.
After many, many months of construction and hard labor and toil, we are approaching the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, and I am so glad that to celebrate, we have opened a brand new experience, which is exactly the same as it was before.
Is that a negative comment, Jason? Is that negative?
I said that a very positive statement.
Sounded negative to me. Sounded sarcastic to me. All I got to say is bring a bucket and a mop. If you're going into...
I mean, but only Bill can have a park entrance key.
Club Cool.
So since we have been talking about food, why don't we stick with the fact that there are some buffets that are returning.
Some buffets?
Some buffets.
Space 220 is a buffet, right?
No,
unfortunately. I mean, well, it's priced like one. You should be able to have all you can eat. Anyway... Crystal Palace is the one I was trying to think of.
Right.
Is slowly making its way. Buffet dining itself is slowly making its way. But Crystal Palace is coming back. So last month we saw Beer Garden, and Diamond Horseshoe is going to be one that's... I think they're not doing buffet though, are they? Okay, forget Diamond Horseshoe. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Is it just me, or was everybody else hoping that one of the silver linings of COVID would be that it got rid of buffets forever?
Like the traditional style buffets?
I was hoping they would get rid of it.
Well, I guess as time goes on and people probably have asked about buffets, and probably it might even be one of their things that they get commented on, one of the high things they get commented on or gets complaints about, truthfully, in their surveys.
Yeah, I much prefer the family style ones, especially like the Garden Grill or Ohana breakfast. Make a few things really well and give it to me as in all I can eat fashion, but don't just have a bunch of stuff in a buffet that everyone else has sneezed on, you know, anymore. Although I will say Boma is probably the only, or maybe Tusker House I might do again.
Oh, Boma I would do any day of the week for sure.
Yeah, Boma's those fantastic. Would be the only exceptions I would say. I would do a buffet for those, but the standard kind of buffet stuff like Crystal Palace, ugh. We ate there, how,
what, it was 2019? Like 2018, 2019, was it? Somewhere in that area.
I remember eating dinner there and it was just meh.
2019. It was so meh.
I can't tell if they've changed anything up menu-wise. I'll be honest, the only thing I've had at Crystal Palace breakfast, that's the only thing I've had buffet style there was breakfast. I don't think I've ever had dinner.
We did the dinner. I think I haven't had the breakfast there in forever, but the dinner we did, and it was meh, you know, not great.
I kind of remember good. The kids ate stuff. Yeah. I remember it. It was
okay.
Nothing okay. special about it.
They let's had prime the, rib, but it wasn't it that the, good. Let's
put it in the rankings of, like, Magic Kingdom dining. It's nowhere okay. near...
Skipper Canteen. That's the top.
But, I mean, it is, it's like, compared standard. To everything else, it is
it's pretty not, good. I would say...
Liberty Tree Tavern's better.
Yes, Liberty Tree is much better. And it's family style, not buffet, which is also
right.
better.
So, okay, so that's top two sit-downs, right?
Yes, top two. Well, Cinderella's Royal Table is probably better than the rest, but...
But we've never eaten there.
Quality? It's expensive. Quality-wise, I would... Yeah, I mean, I would say quality-wise, yes, it's expensive, and it's hard to get into, mostly because of combination of popularity and space.
Right.
Because they do not have a lot of space in there. You got to think about when the castle was built.
Right. We'll just say that's first, and then Skipper Canteen second. We'll just say that. And then Liberty Tree, and then it goes downhill quick after that.
I mean, if I Be told you dinner at Be Our Guest or dinner at Crystal Palace, what are you going to pay?
Well, I'd probably pay less at Crystal Palace.
Yeah, it's $39.
So I'd probably just do that because, to me, it's not worth $62 at, or whatever it is. At
Crystal Palace or the Plaza?
Be Our Guest. I would do the Plaza just because I haven't done it in a while. Although there's
Crystal
not much
Palace
there.
Or Tony's?
Yeah, Crystal Palace.
Speaking of which, I actually saw a post on Facebook in which they were asking about best restaurant, I think, at Magic Kingdom, and someone actually voted legitimately for Tony's. So that was their favorite.
I don't know about
that. I mean,
that.
There are people that eat at, like, you know, Applebee's every day and think it's the best. So.
If there's even a song about it now that's going on.
I mean, growing up, I thought going out to eat at Applebee's was, like, top notch. And then,
well, yeah, I thought Cracker Barrel was.
I still think Cracker Barrel's good.
It is good.
Cracker Barrel is good.
I thought Cracker Barrel was fancy when I was a kid.
Well, on top of that, Cracker Barrel doesn't charge you an arm and a leg for the good food either.
So yeah, Cracker Barrel's still good, but I
very reasonably priced.
I mean, places like an Applebee's, I don't think they cook their food there. I think it's just like a bag of microwaves in the bag.
I knew somebody that worked at Olive Garden, and all of it is made factory and then just reheated.
I like Olive Garden, though.
I know. I'm just saying it's not cooked there, though.
That reminds me of that lady's review of Olive Garden, the small town newspaper, where she just said how great it was. I mean, right. I think Olive Garden is fantastic for especially like a broke college student because it has the perfect thing. You go in, you order a meal, and then you do the all-you-can-eat salad and breadsticks as your meal, and then take that second meal home and like. You basically get two meals for the price of one right there.
What's is it Maggiano's that has that BOGO? Anyway, we're way off topic.
So one more that's now reopening, and that's the Diamond Horseshoe. I was about to mention that in your scenario a minute ago. It's been a long time since I've done the Diamond Horseshoe. Matter of fact, I don't think I've done the Diamond Horseshoe ever since they've gone to the All You Care to Enjoy served family style. I don't think I've even done it since then. Have either of you?
No,
haven't done it.
See,
I mean, how does it compare to Liberty Tree?
I'm gonna say it sounds like the same food now, almost.
Yeah, it's very, very similar.
It was barbecue in there at one time. I guess they figured they had too many barbecues.
I feel like they're on a barbecue surge right now.
Yeah, but they did serve some barbecue in there at one time. I don't know. Maybe they're. Supplies are kind of limited in some cases, so that's why they're mimicking Liberty Tree. If you can't get into Liberty Tree, hey, Diamond Horseshoe might have some availability. The pricing seems reasonable. I mean, $39.
I mean, yeah. Now that we've talked about Space 220, everything seems reasonable. So
I think that's their point, right? Space 220 and Be Our Guest are the most ridiculously overpriced dinners.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it's time to get out of the realm of
food. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, well, they do have menus and concept art for Steakhouse 71. Do we want to cover that or just wait till that's closer to actually being?
I have one more food thing to bring up if we have a moment. There's a new offering at the Thirsty River Bar at Animal Kingdom. Have you guys seen that?
No.
No, what is it? Tell us.
It's called the Yeti Sunset. And so if you like the lemonade at Regal Eagle, you'll probably like this as the review.
Yes.
So it's a Yeti Sunset. It's a Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey with strawberry and lychee lemonade for $13.
I vaguely remember the lemonade at Regal Eagle because that was one of our last stops that night.
Right. And I remember the bartender saying, this is the strongest drink on property. And we ended with it.
Yeah. I don't remember much after that. I feel like we rode the land.
We did ride the land, and we played music because we were on the boat by ourselves.
See, Did I jump out and pick tomatoes or something?
Do that.
Okay, thankfully that wasn't me. Good. Just want to make sure.
All right, so let's head on over to Animal Kingdom to discuss a couple of stories here. It was reported that Finding Nemo the musical was going to permanently close, which in a sense is true. The current show is going to be closed, but it's going to reopen with just a new version of the show, or they're just basically going to update the show, it sounds like. How do you guys feel about that? Have you ever watched it?
No.
I sat through the show, and...
I love the way he puts it, through the show.
It is the longest... Or it was at the time the longest stage show in park at any park.
What is it, like 40 minutes?
I think it was 41 minutes or something like that. It was something like that. And to me, it was weird seeing the fish puppets and then the people in the full body suits running around carrying them. It was weird to me. So I wasn't really into the show. And Finding Nemo is not really my favorite either. Like, it's fine, but... You know how I feel about the seas, so.
Well, I mean, was this show really that popular? I know it's the longest running one in that theater, obviously.
Yeah.
Because it's been there, 15 years now, right?
Yeah. I think it started out that way, or at least Disney promoted it as such. It was crowded when I went there, and that was
popular. I mean, it's not Festival of the Lion King popular.
No.
But.
Not as good either.
I mean... It's like that whole side of the park was just designed to eat up your time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's like, how do we turn Animal Kingdom into a full day park? Oh, that's right. Let's just make a show that lasts the full day.
Right. Yeah.
So I would assume that part of the revamping is it's going to be shorter.
I would hope so.
And I would think that goes along with the, let's be honest, the attention span of the current generation. So it'd be harder to do a longer show. I think Disney has realized that with a lot of the stuff they replaced at Epcot, for instance, that they were a little too long in their originals, even though I still liked them. I just think that the present day audience doesn't quite have the attention span they once had for something. Nope. But anyway. So the other story, construction walls have been erected around the Primeval World in that area. What do we think? Is this a sign that something's about to go there, or is it just a matter of clearing it off at this point?
The Skyliner station's going there.
Skyliner station. So you're going to be able to get a Skyliner over to Animal Kingdom and go directly into the most popular part of the park.
Right.
That
right.
being Dino-Rama.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep. That's how it's going to work.
It would match the cheesy theming well if you had like a ski lift kind of thing there. It would make sense.
Yeah, isn't it funny, like anytime something closes or gets dismantled, that it's always like the fans that like were totally silent always come out of the woodwork, that they all of a sudden care, even for Primeval World.
Oh, really? Who cared about Brain of a Rural?
There's people out there that do.
Well, it is Twitter.
Not near as many as some other ones, but, you know.
I don't see anybody chaining themselves to the front of that.
Not yet.
Right.
It could happen.
I guess. Anyway. I feel like they're just going to tear it down to avoid people, you know, trying to jump the fence and do something stupid.
Maybe.
So they'll just tear it down. I think that's all they're going to do for a while.
Well, I mean, they filed a permit, right? We discussed that not too terribly long ago. But, I mean, I feel like this is more of just a dismantling it and kind of...
tear it down.
I don't think this is a true construction. I think this is just getting it out of the way.
Leave a giant pit there.
Yeah, they'll do something there, one would hope.
A meet and greet.
But,
whenever
a dance party.
Have those again. Right.
Yeah.
Well, they did have a dance party right there, actually.
And this, they have more space for the dance party.
Donald's Dino Bash or whatever it's called.
Yeah. So they're expanding Donald's Dino Bash.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's that. So if you wanted to say goodbye to Primeval World, sorry, you're too late.
Well, you better hurry up. And while it's something's still there, you can still say goodbye.
It has been revealed that the early theme park entry at Walt Disney World, what the hours are going to be. That is for those who had the privilege of staying in the deluxe resorts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is just for October 1st through November the 23rd. Magic Kingdom is going to be that half hour from 7:30 to 8 a.m. on the 1st. So you get that extra 30 minutes there. And from the 2nd to the 23rd, it's going to be from 8:30 to 9. So still just the half hour. Just letting you know exactly what the hours are. Looks like Epcot's going to start opening at 9 a.m. again soon, or at least on some days, 10 a.m. on others, and 11 a.m. some.
It's already opening.
They're
like
staggering. 10. Yeah, they're doing weird things with their hours at Epcot. I don't know. I guess they figure there'd be more people there on the 1st and the 2nd. It's the reason why they're upping the regular entry to 9 again. As we've discussed many times before, we would have been perfectly fine with it always being 11. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, during COVID, it was nice to have the ability to sleep in for at least one day of your trip.
Right. Or get a breakfast in.
Yeah.
At a hour in which, you know, not everybody's like, looks like death warmed over trying to get there. Yeah.
Should we do a check to make sure Jason's still awake?
I'm still awake. I'm looking at the hours for our trip, trying to see what they are.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I haven't heard you talk in a while.
You didn't plan on taking advantage of any extra half hours anyway, so.
No, they're not available then, but I was just curious if they were opening. It's pretty standard.
Let's say you're going to switch to Riviera for that.
Yeah, I'm going to switch over to Riviera just so I can get the extra half hour.
Totally worth it.
I mean, I don't see how it's not worth it.
Yeah.
All right.
Are there still tickets for that Boo Bash? Should we go, Adam? How much is that Boo Bash?
God, yeah. Take a look at that. I bet it's
for that day
more than we ever paid for a
115. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I bet it's 135.
It's currently sold out.
Oh, okay.
No, so no reason to do it at all.
It's literally, as of right now, no availability any of the days. It is sold out every single Boo Bash.
So you might be able to get a same day, though. Like, they have done that. You know, they've been doing that, so.
Why not?
Let's showed up that night, we could do it.
So Disney is giving 6 upcoming films a theater-exclusive release.
Oh. The Scarlett Johansson effect?
I guess that's what we can call it.
Yeah.
At this point, they've had some success with Shang-Chi, apparently, and I guess they feel like it's worth it to. But what they're doing is they're giving them a 45-day theatrical exclusive window. So basically, the first month, you would have to go see it in theater. But if you're patient, you can still get a premiere on Disney Plus, which I'm sure will be an upcharge, given the current era. It seems how things are done. But the 6 releases that this will happen with are Eternals, The Last Duel, West Side Story, Ron's Gone Wrong, The King's Man, and Encanto. Yeah. Which Encanto has a slightly different deal, as they'll just have 30 days you'll have before the Disney Plus.
That might be the next movie I would go see in theaters. If I decide
I didn't see anything on that list that really appealed to me, so
I do want to see that one. But
you do?
That's the only
one. I haven't even checked into that one. What's that one about?
That's the one that Lin-Manuel Miranda's doing the songs for. Oh, well, it should be good. The one set in Colombia.
Going back to our earlier discussion, I know that we're talking about Encanto, but I just finally got this loaded. Adam, you want to go to the After Hours Christmas party on the 21st? Because I've priced it out for our party.
Yeah, $1,700 or something. What is it?
With tax, $1,856.33.
Yeah, I forgot to factor
in the
tax.
Pretty good guess.
$1,800 for how many hours of fun?
For seven people.
Well, you can get in early, but the party itself is, what, 4 hours? Three hours?
It goes 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, our kids would be, well, mine would be grouchy and grumpy or fall asleep before 1 a.m., so we wouldn't even stay the whole time.
Anyways, so yeah, the theatrical releases. I haven't seen Shang-Chi yet.
I haven't either.
Mm-mm.
I've heard good things, though.
I can't explain why. I don't really get into the Marvel films like some people do. I don't know.
What Marvel films have I actually seen in theater? I guess I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 1 in the theater.
That's the only one I've seen. I'm pretty sure if I think about it. The whole time
we've
been doing it.
I'm talking about like new Marvel. Because like...
I'm talking about period, like ever since they've been doing Marvel movies.
But I didn't see any of the Avengers movies, I think, in a theater.
Nope.
None of them. And I haven't seen all of the, like, individual movies either. I'm not into the Marvel stuff that much either.
And to me, the thing that got hard for me is, like, Marvel was releasing stuff, like, all the time. It was just so hard to keep up with on top of that. I'm sure to the hardcore fan, it was awesome, you know, but for someone who already was kind of casual at best... It was more confusing than anything else, truthfully. So, anyway. Mm-hmm. So, to go along with this, The Little Mermaid, the live-action film, has been scheduled. This is pretty far in advance, folks. It's going to be May 26, 2023 at this point. And it's been given a Memorial Day weekend release on that one. So, we're going to have to wait a while for that live-action one. Because it's been talked about for a while, ever since Halle Bailey was pegged as Ariel, and that was how long ago was that? That's been a minute.
Yeah, we've talked about that years ago.
Remember. It seems like it.
Feels like it a couple years ago.
I'm gonna say she's gonna be like 30 by the time this comes out.
Yeah, a lot of things got delayed though. So
yeah, because it was originally slated to be this year, right? Initially,
probably
they wanted it to be. And in the beginning, they wanted it to be, and now it's gonna be 2023. So wow. I guess they figured it was had enough hype to it that if they delayed a little while and then they put it out.
Yeah, I mean, this movie will always have hype, so I think regardless of when they put it out.
I think they can afford to do it.
Yeah.
They wanted to have something in their back pocket, so.
Yep.
All right, so how about a little cruise line news in a way? Mm-hmm. Cruise line / COVID, we'll say. But the Disney Cruise Line adds Central Florida COVID-19 pre-cruise testing option. Basically... Guests 12 years and older are required to be vaccinated, while guests 11 years and under have to provide proof of a negative COVID test and the result between 3 days and 24 hours before their sail date. It says the option for the COVID-19 test has been updated, as was previously the test must be a rapid PCR test or a lab PCR test. The rapid antigen tests are not accepted now, so it would have to be the PCR test. So what do we think about that? Seem reasonable? I think it's probably the best way for them to be safe when they're considering what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are cruising to other countries.
And they're putting people on a cruise ship very close together.
A petri dish, essentially.
Yeah.
I am all for the vaccine mandate. 100% mandated.
Yeah.
Okay. They're saying everybody that is eligible to have the vaccine should have it to go on the cruise ship.
You are free to not get a vaccine, but you can't breathe other people's air because you're putting them at risk. I mean, you can't smoke in my air, you can't put your COVID in my air.
So, yeah, good point.
That is the update to the cruise line, which is not all that surprising. It's just that was more of an information for those of you that might be interested in it or taking one soon. Which I would hope you were probably looking for these things.
Yeah.
We were wanting to take one the week of Christmas, right between Christmas and New Year's. But of course, that's the most expensive cruise.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
By far.
I've cruised a few times, but I have only at this point cruised during what they would call hurricane season.
Right, which is new.
Which is the
it's only getting more active as the years go on at this point.
But the thing is, there's not very many that have like adversely affected a cruise other than have to stay on it longer. I mean, what a horrid, how horrible.
Or it devastates the port you're going to go to, so you have to change course.
I mean, they have ways of knowing where the stuff's going to be, so.
Yeah.
There's nothing that could really, like, be super bad about trying to take a cruise during hurricane season, other than it might be canceled. It might be rescheduled.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
One thing I would say to this about the testing, though, is if you have kids or someone who needs to have a test within 3 days, I think it is, the PCR test, as of right now, it is very difficult to get a test at certain places unless you want to go in, you know, certain testing locations. You can drive up and do a long line or whatever. But if you go to like a Walgreens or something, it's hard to get an appointment right now because so many people are getting tested.
And see, my thing with the 3 days.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's hard to schedule that, I would say, is my point, unless you.
Well.
Yeah.
And here's the thing with the 3 days. Are they saying, okay, the test has to have been initiated within the last 3 days? You see what I mean?
Right. Well,
that they got the result. Like, did someone actually take the test on day 4 and they got the results on the day? You see what I'm saying? Right. Is that
we had to do accepted? This when we went to Puerto Rico this summer. Our kids had to have tests within 3 days. So they told us that you have to take the test 3 days before you leave. And you have to have the results before that time as well, which is, or at least show that you had taken it. I think some proof that you had taken the test and are still waiting for results. But
don't they typically have the results like next day?
Well, yeah, but as of right now, we've also had to do a test recently and it took 2 days to get the results because so many people are getting tested right now. Because it's spreading a lot more because of Delta variant.
I think there's a good possibility you're going to be seeing fewer kids on cruises, at least for the time being.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So if you're an adult...
What do you mean by that, Adam?
Meaning because kids are the ones that are getting it right now because they can't get vaccinated under 12.
Well, sticking with the COVID theme, proof of a COVID-19 vaccination or negative test required at mega events, including theme parks in Los Angeles County, starting October the 7th. So, of course, that would affect Disneyland and California Adventure. This one does not exclude the rapid antigen test, from what I can tell.
Right.
You know, good and well, there's going to be plenty of people after this, once this gets started, that are trying to fake it. I don't know if they could get away with that very easily or not. I'm not sure. I don't know what they're going to ask for at this point, especially even the vaccination thing, because I guess, would they check the records at the gate? I mean, I know there's a database, but
with Walgreens, they give you a thing on the app or email or text that shows. But again, somebody could probably try to manipulate that and make it.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I mean, there's an electronic record, but that's what I'm saying. I wonder how are they going to figure this out?
Yeah, I don't know.
What degree to what level are they going to go to prove this?
I don't know. We'll find out. I don't know.
It should be interesting. October 7th is when we're going to start looking for that out in California. So,
should we do a Jason check? Is he awake?
Yeah, I think we should. Okay. Jason, you're still with us?
I'm here.
Just checking. Sorry.
Anyway, speaking of vaccines and speaking of mandates, because Bob Chapek and Joe Biden.
Who's that?
Bob Chapek and Joe Biden have a mandate. Get it?
A mandate? Sure. Well,
that's what it says. Actually, Chapek's only mentioned because he's the Disney connection there.
Right.
But apparently it's going to be other CEOs. Basically discussing a vaccine mandate. I don't know. It's not real clear, I guess. Let's put it this way. Disney's obviously already put one as far as their workers go. that's already starting to take effect now, from my understanding, or what they're starting to have to get the proof of it. So I'm wondering if the meeting is pertaining to that and to how well that's working, or how to do it in the future. I don't think it's going to be anything more than that, but of course, at any time that it happens, it makes the news. So,
yeah,
the meeting has actually already taken place by the time this podcast comes out, yeah, will have been released. But the other CEOs that are mentioned to be there, or had to have been there, Greg Adams, the chair and CEO of Kaiser Permanente, Brad Smith, president of Microsoft, Madeleine Bell, president and CEO of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Josh Bolton, president and CEO of Business Roundtable, Roz Brewer, CEO of Walgreens, Tim Boyle, CEO of Columbia Sportswear, Molly Noon, CEO of Molly Moon's Homemade Ice Cream, and William Tate IV, LSU. The president of LSU, which is interesting. Yeah, very diverse. So I'm guessing they're trying to get...
In terms of types of companies, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one university on there, apparently. Go figure. Anyway, but I'm pretty sure it's probably trying to discuss their different results with things they're putting in place, and probably the differences to that.
Yeah.
Ed Asner, we mentioned him earlier, to make a posthumous appearance. So on Disney Plus, we've got Muppets Haunted Mansion coming up.
Muppets Haunted Mansion.
I didn't realize he was going to be in it, but apparently he did have a spot in it already.
Okay.
Friday, October the 8th, when that's debuting. That should be interesting. I love the Muppets and I love the Haunted Mansion, so I'm really hoping that that will deliver.
So is he the 1,000th ghost?
Too soon.
Is that too soon? Too soon, yeah. Yeah. They have a picture of him there. Looks like he is playing a spook of some kind. It kind of looks that way. That's one of the ones that was being released on Disney Plus that I actually want to see. I can say that for the first time in a while. It's anytime you mix Muppets and one of my favorite attractions, my favorite Magic Kingdom attraction. Speaking of which, did I mention that I have a Halloween decoration that I plan on putting in my yard that I came across?
What is it?
That's Haunted Mansion themed.
Oh, really? What is this?
It's actually a pretty good like stand-up. It's going to glow in the dark. Of the hitchhiking ghosts I have. I'll have to show. I have to see how. I hope it really works well, but I'll have to show you guys once I actually get in and are able to put it up.
Yeah.
Hopefully the effect at night, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you, see if it's as good as advertised. But when I saw that, because I had been thinking about doing a Haunted Mansion theme around Halloween anyway, so that could be the start of my collection in doing that. I might get something else, but
nice.
That's what I plan on doing. I've kind of wanted to take like a theme such as Haunted Mansion for Halloween and build on it and just kind of do it every year.
And you'll be the ghost host?
Yeah, I guess so. I could play the music from Haunted Mansion maybe get a fog effect at some point. Anyway, Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin, even though I've been to Disneyland, it's not one I've done. Have you done it, Adam?
I did it.
Yeah.
You did it?
I did it once when I went out there.
You did it?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you guys think of it? In general,
it was okay.
Pretty fun.
It was decent.
Okay.
It was fine. It's like teacups meets dark ride. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, it is an older attraction. On top of that, went back when Roger Rabbit was still in its heyday of popularity.
90s. Yeah.
They're making a change to Jessica Rabbit's story in the storyline of the ride. It's been said that the reasoning is for a bit of cultural sensitivity update. I don't know. I think specifically the one with her being in the trunk of a car.
Yeah.
I think was probably one that they were being careful with.
Yep, that makes sense.
And so it's just basically been replaced by dip barrels. I don't think it's anything that really takes away from the ride at all from what I can see. It is said that there's a small overhaul being done to it. And which makes her like more of a central figure, or like more relevant, I guess. So that she'll be a private eye, determined to stamp out a Toontown crime wave. I got to be honest. I mean, I've watched the ride on YouTube, but I haven't actually been on it. I can't see where there's much continuity in the first place, so I don't think it would really matter. I mean, did you get a story out of it whenever you were writing it?
No, I don't remember much.
Obviously
about
not.
It,
you had to think about it.
Yeah, it was like I remember. Parts of it, but I don't remember much about it.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about it. I mean,
there you go.
let's just say, if we're going to talk about a dark ride at Disneyland with a great story, it's Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Right.
That's what I was saying.
There you go.
It kind of reminded me of that in a way. Like, it felt like it was either a tip to that or something. But
it's Mr. Toad's Wild Ride meets teacups.
That's the way to...
That's the cross.
And you don't go to hell in this one.
No. You know, speaking of Mr. Toad, I came across another one of those Facebook questions. I think it's from the same one that I don't know how I keep getting these show up from the... What is it called? They're called... I think it's called Epcot Food and Wine Festival or whatever. But they keep asking these questions, right? And they said something about if you could make a change or could change any attraction. I can't remember if this one was Magic Kingdom specific or if it was Walt Disney World specific. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people were talking about making changes, and I decided to say, I was like, I would change Winnie the Pooh to Mr. Toad.
Right.
And then I put, like, a wink on it beside it.
That's funny.
And someone actually loved my comment.
Right.
It could be done. At least one of the tracks is still there, because that's what they use for Pooh. Right. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Right. They could redo it.
They use the exact same, like, I don't know if it was side A or side B, but... They used the exact... I guess it would have had to have been the left side, right?
That's what it seems like. Yeah.
So, I mean, they could put it back if they wanted, or put a new incantation, I will say, of it, if they wanted. So I believe that's going to be it.
Well, I did want to mention briefly that...
Mention.
This last weekend was the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and we went to Disney World... 2 days after 9/11 actually happened?
Yes, we had a trip planned anyway, and we weren't flying either, so that was another reason why it was still able to happen.
To go, right. So talk about, the emptiest, probably COVID actually last year in July was probably the emptiest I've ever seen it, but that was pretty darn close, was right after 9/11.
Well, my COVID experience was busier than the 9/11 experience.
Right. But I went, right after they reopened, and it was, nobody there.
I think in comparison to a typical Thanksgiving week, mine was most definitely slower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 9/11 thing, that was a very weird... I mean, it was still Disney, so it was still fun, but it was a very weird experience overall, just how empty, everything was.
Yeah.
And we had mentioned this on here before, how something about the air traffic noise, like stuff we don't realize how it interferes with how sound travels. And we were actually able to hear the Haunted Mansion wolf all the way over at the Polynesian.
That's true, yeah.
Which you had never noticed that before. Yeah. And I don't think it was because we never noticed it. I literally think you couldn't hear it because of air traffic.
Or just how people it affects noise, how sound like travels. Bodies.
Yeah. I think it has more to do with the air traffic noise. I mean, I really do. I feel like it makes a difference as to far as how other sounds actually travel, how far sound travels. I think it interferes.
Yeah. So it was definitely a weird time, and
yeah,
I remember our grandmother and her sister they just watched the news all day. They didn't want to come out of the hotel room.
They basically only went on vacation to basically hang out in the Polynesian anyway for quite some time.
Yeah.
Just basically go out and look around shops and stuff. Right. I mean, they basically just hung out at the Poly the last few times they had gone to with us.
Yeah.
So.
But they pretty much just watched the news all day, which, most people did, for 9/11.
I do remember that on top of that, there was also a tropical storm.
Yes, it blew through as we were driving down,
Yeah, that had an effect, too.
That's true.
So, yeah.
It was a Category 1 hurricane, I think it was. Or by the time it got to Central Florida, it was a tropical storm again, but...
Right. Well, I remember them giving us flashlights.
So. Right, yeah, when we got there, because it had just gone through. I think, there was no power for, a first hour or so or something, maybe?
It was not very long that there was no power when we went into the room. They actually still checked us in.
Yeah.
But there was no power in the actual room. It was very short, though. It was I can't remember. It was not long.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember going to Hollywood Studios, which was still MGM then, and walking around the streets of America. It was empty. And that's when you did the, you were volunteered to do the backlot tour, weren't you, that time?
Yeah, the scene with the boat.
Mm-hmm. We're taking on water.
We're taking on water.
Yeah. So, you know, old school stuff, but yeah. Just thought I would mention that 20 years ago, we were at Disney, which is kind of weird to think about now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. 20 years has passed since all of it.
That was one event that really changed things. And 20 years later, COVID has really changed the travel industry yet again.
Yeah. And the question right now, I think everybody thinks about is to what degree and for how long, or is it pretty much a permanent thing? Who knows? Only time will tell.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of those things where there's going to be a degree. It's going to be affected to a degree, but there's going to be, as we go on, something that resembles normalcy. You know, basically airline travel has not changed since 9/11, obviously, so we're still have things in place. So
I think one thing, maybe people will be wearing masks a lot more often than even post-COVID, quote-unquote. I think I don't feel like weird wearing a mask anymore. So I don't think even during flu season I might wear it occasionally.
Yeah.
In the future. I don't know.
It may not. I think what you're saying is it may not phase anyone as being odd.
Right. That's what I was saying.
I think
saying.
There'll be a lot of people who opt not to do it, obviously, because, you know, for
it's really effective
comfort
though.
Reasons.
It really is effective.
Yeah. All right.
Still there, Jason?
I'm here.
Just checking.
He's just soaking it all in. All right. I think we've gone long enough.
Get some sleep, everybody.
It was right there just at the end. We put him to sleep with our.
We usually do. That's why I have to check in. Yeah, we usually put him out.
I mean, I need the outro to put me to sleep. I think by the time you finish it, I will be fast asleep.
So this week's episode brought to you by Calm, the app to help you sleep.
The Calm app.
And Applebee's.
But we didn't mention our travel agent.
Well, let's do that right now. You could say something along the lines of speaking of travel during difficult times.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you want to travel during this difficult time, reach out to our travel agent friend, Jill Dilbeck. She also said I could use her email address. So if you want to go direct to her that way, it's jilldilbeck@gmail.com. If you want to email her directly, tell her we sent you, Traveling with the Mouse. If you're interested in booking Disney World, Land, Cruise Line, Universal.
Legoland.
You always say that, but I don't know that for sure. Or SeaWorld.
SeaWorld.
I don't know that for sure.
Anywhere you want to go in the world.
But
not true.
Anything Disney Universal, for sure, she can book that for you.
The Holy Land experience.
I believe that's closed permanently, by the way.
Permanently? Actually, yeah, really?
The Gaylord Palms.
Yeah. Margaritaville.
Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum.
Okay. Gatorland.
Well, feel free to email her or visit our website. Link to her there. And find out. She'll definitely be able to help.
All right. So you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise, including the Refs or a Ride shirt. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. We do have a YouTube channel as well, which you can find the links to the places that Adam is going to mention.
Which is our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can find those links. And you can email us as well, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com.
I mean, that's it.
So, for Jason and Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope that you will join us on our next trip.
Bob Chapek is a cheap b***h.
Say your sentence again.
But only Bill can have a park entrance key.